Blog Talk Radio.
Bring it all down.
Here we go again, episode 5 of Blisterfish. We're back on the air, tearing it up, and we're going to have another good show, man. This stuff is starting to get rolling. We're going to put this shit down on wax, burn it on DVD, put it on Netflix, syndicate it. We're going to get crazy tonight. Yeah, baby. We're, just getting fired up. A lot of crazy shit's going on. We got some good topics, and I'm looking for my cohort in crime. My good buddy, Old DB. This is Uncle Fester,
hey.
Old DB, out there. Yeah.
Hey, man, we're going to syndicate it, replicate it, duplicate it, get it done tonight.
Yeah, defecate it. Oh, man. All right. So what's up with you?
So here we
what's
are.
Going on?
Well, before we start, man, I just wanted to. I don't know if you're drinking beer, but it's a regular weekly thing with me, man. I got my bells. I got an Oberon going on. Thinking about summer with my Oberon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And,
Oberon is. Oberon is
a
night.
Going in front of you.
Yeah, you're gonna laugh. I'm doing. I got a.
Stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Yeah, I got a few Pabst in front of me.
Yeah,
the old Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, before
I got my trucker hat on.
I just want to, I know you lost your dog in the last week or so, and that's been a
yeah, it was last
so
Friday.
I wanted to raise a toast to your dog. And give him a toast straight on the air, and give him a proper goodbye with a toast to your puppy dog. So let's start off the show.
All right, I got my beer raised. Thank you, Old DB. He was I'll take a drink. He was a great pal companion. We had him for he was 10 years old. He was an old English bulldog. His legal name was Kane Shaman, and we called him Bub. And he was a great dog, great personality. He just had a indomitable spirit. He was a wild dog. He was real fun, had a lot of personality. And we had him for 7 years. And, we were real close to him. It was sad, but he was just suffering too much, and we had to put him down on Friday. So, yeah, it was a sad day, sad weekend. And I still miss him. And, it's just that's the circle of life, man. You got a pet, you got even loved ones. I told my daughter was sitting in the vet with me. I said, hey, you got to get strong because maybe one day you're going to have to do this to me. And she's like, oh, Dad. I said, I'm not joking. I said, hey, I'm 46. So, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Shit, you never know, So, it's just, he's going to be feeding some a garden for some retiree's garden. That's where his ashes are going, so.
Well, that's cool. Well, hey, at least you're given an opening to talk to your daughter about end-of-life stuff,
Yeah.
Hey, now that our dog died, let's talk about me a little bit.
her probably next line is, what about the insurance? And she's probably going through papers,
She's making sure all their T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, man.
Just check. Yeah, she's a smart girl, checking all the paperwork, making everything's up to snuff. Yeah,
well,
you got my living will.
I only chance to meet your dog a couple times, but he was cool and he was a good. I always remember he loved the big chew toy, chew everything. The big.
Oh yeah, he liked
to.
Yeah, he liked to fight a lot. People would think he was a really crazy dog, and they thought he was really angry all the time, and he always wanted to fight and play, but it was just sheer joy. That's what he just always wanted to play. That was his. It was his deal.
You certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
It, It's amazing when you get, you know, you have a pet and that you know, it lives with you and it knows everything about you. You know, it's almost like another spouse or something, you know, man.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer when you have a dog a long time and they disappear. But, you know, one way or another, you know, get another one, go rescue another one and, you know, make a better life with another dog again. You know, that's what we do.
We just
get rescue dogs.
Yep. That's what we do. We don't want to buy from a breeder. You know, we just try to save. We got so many rescues. We got a new no-kill rescue right over here on Harper just opened up. They got a $1.5 million grant from somewhere something, and they're gonna do a no-kill one. It's almost ready to open. They already have dogs in there and everything. So
I'm
probably go check
Detroit,
that one out.
Do you guys have problems with like stray dogs in Detroit?
Yeah, well, it was always really bad. I think it's been getting a lot better the last couple of years. But, they had a stray. I mean, there would be packs of wild stray dogs running around. Sometimes they start getting into packs. So, you know, and every once in a while somebody would be attacked by them, you know. Because they start going back to their, is it base or instincts or whatever you would call it. I guess when they start getting hungry and starving, then they start packing up like that. They still start going back to the wolf, you know, the wolf in them. So it's pretty wild, but it's getting a lot better.
They get those hunting instincts back, you know. They got to fucking start killing shit again to survive, you know.
Yep, that's crazy. But
well,
that was
cool,
a rough time.
Well,
but cheers,
cheers to your dog, and maybe
cheers.
Get another one
Thank
sometime
you.
Soon. So mm-hmm. I don't know, man, dude. I don't know if you see all the crazy. I'll tell you what. I was talking to you earlier this week, and we've talked about this before, but I am not party affiliated. I mean, I've listened to a couple of our previous shows here in the last month, and you'd think I'm a straight Democrat, man. The way I talk about the GOP, which I cannot stand. I'll be right out front. The GOP, I mean, as a political party, is just so heinous in so many respects. But I'm also not a Democrat either, and I think a lot of what they're doing is either very similar or just as egregious in other areas as the Republican Party. So, but I don't know what it is. In the last week, there's been so much shit about the GOP and just how fucking nasty they can get lately. It's just been amazing to me. I mean.
Yeah,
and I truly think that that party's been taken over by religious radicals. I mean, that's certainly a wing of it, you know. But I think that's they run the gig, dude. And if it's not Mitt Romney, then it's Sarah Palin or Rick Santorum, and they're just insanely religious, crazy people, man. And they're the leaders of a political party, one of two major political parties that run our country, you know.
And, I think they've given up on trying to be moderates. They're just like. We're not going to be moderates no more. I think just now in Mississippi, aren't they trying to pass that law like they had in Arizona, where they can discriminate on religious and you know against homosexuals? They don't have to serve in businesses. They're doing the same thing down there now in Mississippi. It's the same. I think that governor was pushing for that. Governor, I forgot his name offhand, but he's another radical right wing guy, and they're just it's insane, man. They will not get with the modern times. They don't. They're just. They've given up. I think they kind of given up on trying to be moderates. You're not going to have no John McCain's or anything. They're just. They're turning the party over to the radicals. They're nuts.
Yeah. Well, they had that NRA meeting lately, and of course, it was mainly the Republicans that showed up and did some speeches. And I think that's where Palin lately came back into the news. But even Rick Santorum, and I think it may have been that it was within the last week or so. I'm not sure if it was at the NRA gathering or not, but. He said straight out, he goes, our side is losing right now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, I fucking hope so. You crazy fucking, radical American Taliban motherfucker, you know?
You know what?
I mean, he's straight out American Taliban. Palin and Glenn Beck, they're as radical as the Taliban are, you know?
The thing is they're getting – they've got 50% of the vote down south. I mean, it's about 50-50, whatever, in the Bible Belt. They're 50-50, but everywhere else, they're losing. They're never going to win anywhere but the Bible Belt because they keep pandering to the ignorance, you know, and that's all they have is the Bible Belt, you know.
And a smaller and smaller, like, demographic, You know, I mean, if you're old, you know, they've got the back, you know, the Republicans have your backing for the most part. Not always, obviously, but, you know, yeah. Generalizing, I mean, you know, so in a lot, like Fox News, the viewership in Fox News is extremely old, you know. And
yeah.
And so it's just a lot of archaic views that the only, you know, they keep reinforcing with the older generations, man. There's nothing new or innovative or, you know, even different being put up by the Republicans. I mean, I'm all about small government in certain areas. You know, I'm a strong Second Amendment guy. I'm a strong smaller government. Our government's just too fucking big. So I absolutely agree with the Republicans, man. You know, and even the Tea Party to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've got, like, Sarah Palin, man, she came out in this speech, and she says waterboarding is how we baptize terrorists. How insane is that?
No, you're doing it all wrong.
That's insane.
I mean, if we are not going back, I mean, that's straight out of the fucking Inquisition. You know, fucking Quasimodo shit where they're torturing Jews and non-believers and you know until they convert to Catholicism.
I think they want to go back to that. I think that's
that's straight out of the fucking the Inquisition playbook, man.
I just was reading on Facebook one of the I'm not even sure who he is, but he's one of the Republicans in government. He was saying that. He thinks it should be a standard 12-year sentence for a conviction on homosexuality. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Man.
I mean, how do you prove that anyways? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to set a camera in somebody's home? Or I mean, it's just, you know, the guy's got a obvious lisp and he dresses really nice, so we're going to put him in jail for 12 years? It's just different, you know.
Isn't that a daisy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Palin's there promoting terror or torture whenever she can now, you know, the waterboarding or whatever else.
She's a real hard ass, ain't she?
Yeah, right. Yeah, killing animals from helicopters and shit. She's real, you know, all for the fucking cameras. You know, I don't know. I guess it was the religious right that brought her to prominence. So I mean, obviously she ran as a vice presidential candidate for McCain, and that's, you know, where she came into notoriety. But something's got to be carrying her. Someone's got to be watching her TV shows and listening to what she has to say.
Yeah.
That's got to be the crazy right, huh? I mean, it's got to be the religious right.
Yeah, it's you know, religious right, women, religious women, Christian women. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
She says
in the speech, listen, this is a quote of hers. They obviously have information on plots to carry out jihad. What the fuck is she talking about?
Information on plots to carry out jihad.
As we have, you know, 1,000 military bases all over the world, she's fucked. And that shows how much good it did. I mean, if 9/11 was exactly what the government said it was, which I absolutely don't believe it, but if it was, then what good is everything we're doing? I mean, that infrastructure was there in 2001, right? I mean, we had, you know, we had bases all over the world, and we had the NSA and the CIA and the FBI and a bunch of fucking amateur pilots with box cutters took down NORAD. You know, they took down NORAD, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Fuck. I saw this short video, and I think it was Alex Jones that was interviewing. He interviewed Gore Vidal, and Gore Vidal's, you know, a famous author, and he's been in a few movies. And his dad set up the precepts for NORAD, for interception of alien vessels of any kind, alien being from other countries, you know, foreign airborne vehicles of any kind. His dad set up the precepts for that. So, like, you know, if jets have to be scrambled in 10 minutes or whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on that board that did it, Gore Vidal's dad was. And he said, let alone on 9/11, the very basic, the law was broken where not one jet was scrambled to intercept any of those aircraft.
Yeah.
You know?
But didn't they use the excuse that they were doing some kind of maneuvers or whatever, and that
they're doing
they thought that it
they were
yeah,
doing
they
drills
they
out in the ocean
yeah.
of a plane striking a building. They're doing drills exactly about exactly what happened to the Trade Center on that very day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what added to the confusion
exactly.
is people thought they were out doing these military drills. But the thing is this, man. I mean, I think the plane that hit the Pentagon. We're off on a 9/11 tangent, but we'll go here. But yeah, I got to finish this thought.
Coming together.
The plane that hit the Pentagon and it flows into all this was in the air. It was in the air over an hour. And I think it was closer to an hour and a half, man. And not one jet along the entire eastern seaboard could intercept that motherfucker. With all of military bases we have, it would have taken about 10 minutes for a jet to get up and intercept that fucking plane.
Yeah.
And it was in the air for almost an hour and a half before it
hit
the Pentagon.
These are some of the questions that I always – because you get the skeptics. You know, I kind of roll within the atheist community, and within the atheist community, they can't stand conspiracy theorists. They think you're a dumb redneck, whatever. You know, ignorant. You know, you just
Tea
believe
Party.
Anything. I'm not trying to tell you I know what happened, but I'm just asking why was nothing intercepted? I mean, you can't fly a Cessna. You can't even get near the Super Bowl or anything in a Cessna plane. Or restricted airspace without an F-16 right on your ass, getting ready to blow you out of the sky any other time.
Yeah.
But we got jumbo jets that they lost communications with or whatever, supposedly, flying
That's
around
bullshit,
for an
dude.
Hour, and they can't, they don't intercept them. They don't do anything. They don't even.
They obviously
they
had them on radar. NORAD obviously was trying to ensure any airport within the region obviously could track those fucking planes. So I don't know what happened, and I never will, and I don't think most people ever will. Maybe in 100 years or something, but I know it didn't go down the way they said it did. I fucking know that, man. Going back to all this shit, man. What good does all of this do anyway, man? I mean, if we can't stop that from happening with our massive military, why are we spending the money? You know, $2 billion a day, basically, man. We spend $2 billion a day, almost $700 billion a year on the military that's made public. That's public spending, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking outrageous, dude. We can't stop planes from hitting buildings.
Yep.
Then fuck, we might as well roll up the carpet, you know.
I know.
I mean, bring it all home and then just have, you know. Have a massive defense on our borders and seawall, you know, in the sea, and we're good.
Yeah.
The whole fucking thing didn't make sense to me, but, you know, but their frame of thinking is you know, we're going to go out and torture a bunch of people and baptize them and convert them to Christianity with torture, you know, back to Palin again, and that somehow that's going to stop. You know, people from supposedly flying planes into buildings. I mean, it's just like the drone program, man. It's just fucking recruiting terrorists. You know, I mean,
you know what's going to stop all planes flying into buildings is get rid of all these religions. That's what's going to stop it.
Right.
That's the main problem is just these religions, and these religious wars and all this crap, you know. I mean, if we became a totally atheistic nation, like, tomorrow, that would do so much to just in relations to all these Muslim countries. I mean, no, they would still look at us like infidels, but then they wouldn't look at us, at least now we're not crusaders, you know. We're not saying we have our God. It's not your God. It's our God. We're not going. You know, we're not like saying we have God and you don't. You know,
our God is better than your God.
Yeah, it's just so ignorant. I mean, I don't know how we're going to get to the point where we can get rid of all this shit, but somehow it has to happen.
I'm going to spend my remaining years.
What's that?
Maybe the internet, man. I mean, maybe just a couple fools like us sitting around fucking shooting shit about how ridiculous religion is and how, you know, what, all the falsehoods of it and the false guarantees and the false, you know, everything that it offers that ends up not being true, you know.
Yep.
And the Bible itself, I mean, the basic precepts of the religion are so ridiculous. It's not even funny. So
yep.
I, you know, it's happening, man. I mean, you know, you're seeing empty churches. There are major portions of Europe that don't believe God anymore. And you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, man. I mean, just to have a program that shows up on Fox and in the Deep South talking about space and science and shit,
yeah,
which we haven't had for years. I mean, that kind of shit helps, you know.
Well, the thing that's what's discouraging about it though is it's awesome, but to see the backlash for wanting to have knowledge and scientific knowledge, and to see a whole demographic of people, a large portion of this nation, getting angry about that show because it doesn't line up with their Christian beliefs. I mean, it's really sad, you know.
Yeah,
they're
scared. I mean, I think a lot of them are grasping at straws. I think, you know, we see some of them even on Facebook. Me and you interact with, you know, some people that you can tell. I mean, they're sending out almost daily about the like quotations.
Yep.
And they're not even using the Bible half the time. They're using like modern theologians or whatever else. You know, just people.
Yeah.
You know, written books about religion.
They don't even want to read
the
Bible.
The Bible doesn't make sense to them anymore. What's that?
Yeah, I said they don't want to read the Bible.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand how that kind of faith and how that kind of religious faith and everything, how it causes so many problems within the world. I mean, you really have to step back and get out of it and take a macro view of it. Like I wrote a short little letter today on Facebook talking about the people who died down in the tornadoes they had in Alabama and was it Georgia also, I think. And there's a few people died down there, and then you get a dingbat on there. They'll interview some super religious chick, and she'll be talking about how God saved her and everything. She'll be standing in piles of rubble where other people died, and they don't realize how insensitive and how pompous and arrogant that is to sit there and say that God picked you out to save you in this tornado, but he killed all these other people and ruined their lives. And killed
right.
them, took their homes and everything, but God decided to save you. They don't. They think it's a positive. They don't see what harm that causes people and how it's.
Right.
You know, or they're doing something wrong in their lives, or they didn't do everything right that God took them, or worse yet, that they think it's a good thing that God took them and they're going to heaven and that they've got it even better than we do down here. So now
they're in a better place.
Yeah, that's even a worse fucking mindset. But a lot of them don't even have that mindset. A lot of them are just like, well, you know, God saved me and he protected my family. Thank God, praise God. But you know, fuck them other sorry motherfuckers. You know, they're dead. So I mean,
it's a sick ideology. You know, you're talking about was that interview with Blitzer, and it was either in Missouri or Arkansas. And it was last year. And they had a tornado just wipe out the whole fucking city, you know. And they had quite a few people die, tens of people, it was 20 or 30, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And this lady was relating a story of, you know, Blitzer's out there. He's out there on site interviewing people, and he interviews the survivor. It's this lady and her husband, and she had survived either by going into a basement or a bathtub or something. But you know, her house is utter ruin. It's in fucking rubble, you know, and she's out in front of it. And Wolf Blitzer kept asking her. He asked her like three times. He goes, well, didn't you just thank God after you came out and you were still alive? And she finally said after the second or third time he asked her, she said, well, no, we don't think that way because we're atheists. We don't believe in God. And the question she should have given him back is, well, if I were to do that, wouldn't I also have to blame him for fucking up and killing all these people and destroying our town? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the mindset. How can you only thank God for surviving and then look around and be like, oh, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Oh, look, there's my neighbor cut in half by his house. God works in mysterious ways, but I praise God for me being alive. That's fucked up thinking, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's what she should have did. Yep.
Fucking,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's all the upside and none of the downside ever. And especially when the downside is 98% of it. You know, I mean, the downside is the town being wiped out, tons of people being killed, you know, homeless. And he wants this lady to praise God in the middle of it all. Man, that's fucking twisted, dude. That's religion to a T right there, man.
Every once in a while, I get a little acid trip flashback to my religious days. I'm going to say something a little crazy here. I just had a word of knowledge from the Lord God. There's somebody listening right now, listening to us live, and we know who it is. And he's a Christian, and he's a believer, and you're a chicken because you won't call in and stand up for your God and your faith. I challenge you right now, listener, to call in and stand up for your Bible and your faith, because I'm in a fighting mood tonight, and I normally don't argue or get real vulgar or mean on here, but I'm gonna challenge you to call in. Call in, stand up for your faith, stand up for your Bible. Don't be a chicken. I'm somewhat sympathetic. I have been where you've been, so I understand what's going on, but call in. Don't be afraid. Call in. We'll talk to you. Let's hash this out.
Hey,
let's
our phone number, you're listening to Blisterfish, our phone number is 646-595-4686. That's 646-595-4686. Give us a call, man. We want to hear from some people out there and hear them, you know, like Fester said, man, defend what they believe in. And you know, we're here professing what we think exists, and we want to hear from someone else.
It's the crickets again. Damn it.
Yeah. So speaking of religious fanaticism, dude. So Glenn Beck was out. He was making a commencement speech at Liberty University here, and it was within the last couple of days. I think it looks like maybe Monday. And he says he got a he got a message from God. What do you think? What do you think? It was a fax or an email? What do you, maybe a tweet? He got a tweet from God.
Audible voice.
the voice is inside his head, man. But what he says is in this commencement speech at this university, Liberty University. Who did you say? I mean, obviously it's a religious right wing. Whose university is it?
It's Jerry Falwell, I think, started
Jerry
Liberty
Falwell,
University.
Liberty, all right. Yeah. So he's there speaking, and he says, so I got a message from God, and God says, I am coming, and I will settle scores. So this is what they've gotten down to, man. Beck is dissolved down into threatening people.
Yeah.
I have talked to God, and he's coming to kick your ass. Motherfucker, be ready for it.
Yeah,
they did a fucking commencement speech, dude. It's not about how wonderful their future is gonna be, or you know what an amazing open life they have in front of them. It's God's coming and he's kicking their ass.
He's gonna come. There will be pillars of fires and smoke. And while all that's on, I'm gonna be like this. It'll be 7 a.m.
Down a beer. 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
that'll be me.
Watching it all.
I'll be sipping on a nice $50 bottle of scotch, smoking a cigar while the bombs are going off. I mean, what can you do?
That reminds me of the scene in The Simpsons where they show the church and the bar right next to each other, and there's some sort of apocalypse coming, some calamity, and all the people from the bar run into the church, and all the people from the church run into the bar. That's what's about to happen.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, so, they're coming out of the woodwork, and, of course, all these people are just straight, you know, GOP crazy fucks. And I really think for the GOP to get back into like mainstream America and start sharing views that that you know a lot of people in America share, they're going to have those crazy fucks are going to have to break away. Maybe they start their own party called the Tea Party or something. But if they don't, the Republicans are fucked. They got to drag people like Palin and Beck along. They're fucked.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's going to be. They're going to be going down, man, because there's too many moderates in the country and too many liberals and moderates that are I can't remember what the percentage is. It's well over 50% now of people that don't support Republicans.
Either party. Party, I think it's quite a large percentage at this point. But I mean, the thing is that Republicans just curry these fucking complete radicals, and they're the big stars in the party, I mean, fucking guy tying a dog to the top of his car and traveling across the country with the motherfucker and not even realizing there's something wrong with it on a family vacation, Romney. I mean, that's insane, man. That's some crazy fucking shit.
Oh, dry, dry.
and 40 million people voted for the guy or whatever it was, it's even shocking on top of it.
Yeah, it's insane.
So, it just seems so, they're just, and me, man, I don't trust the government. If it comes to believing or not what they have to say, I'm normally on the not side of things, But these guys are so, so fucking gonzo. And, even about nine, but they're still even beyond what I just can't conceive of what the hell they're trying to think of. And I guess what they're trying to create some sort of, religious revolution or something. Where they want to make the religious rise up with their guns and start attacking the non-believers or something. I don't know.
But
Palin's the new Osama bin Laden, and fucking Glenn is a Malik Alaki or whatever the fuck his name is.
Malik Abdul Sharif or whatever. Yeah, one of them guys.
Yeah,
it's we're gonna be like, we're not liberals. We're not liberals. I'm socially liberal, but I'm fiscally conservative. Come on, don't shoot me. Oh man, that's crazy.
I believe in some of the things you do.
Yeah,
just none of the crazy religious shit.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me.
Yeah, man. I don't know, but that's kind of what it seems like. I mean, Beck's talking about divine retribution soon, and Palin's talking about torturing fucking, quote unquote terrorists, but of course they're all brown skinned, it doesn't necessarily have to do with their activities, whether they get tortured or not. But.
Well, that's the whole thing about religion. It allows you to dehumanize people, so you can, because they're not Christian, we can torture them. They're criminals. Yeah. They're trying to kill us. Now we've dehumanized them. They're, we can do what we want. I mean, we got the law on our side, and the laws are always set up because they set up the laws. They're always on their side, and it's all a bunch of bullshit. Those people, they're the people over the Middle East and all these different countries that are not aligned with us. There's people. Most of the people there just want to live in peace. They just want to. For the most part, people people don't give a shit about attacking us or fighting us.
Right.
But I mean, we're making more terrorists all the time. But for the most part, people just want to live, and have a good life.
I think just like a lot of people here, man, the fucking Tea Party, the flag they have, "Don't Tread on Me." It's the same thing here. You just don't want to be fucked with. They want to live their lives just like most people in this country want to do. Don't bother me. I don't bother you. Don't fuck with me. I won't fuck with you, and we'll all be good,
Right.
But when we're sending drones over and bombing their asses and funeral parties and wedding receptions and shit, that tends to get people pissed off. Would me?
And it's not.
That'd give me reason. I mean, if someone's drone bombing fucking my backyard, my neighbor or whatever, I wouldn't be happy. That's for sure.
Well, I know.
You know.
And it's not like it's free either. You know, it's like we got money just to throw around paper, all this shit. You know, fucking bridges are crumbling, roads are shittier than hell, at least in Michigan. Just everything's falling apart, you know, shit. Everything's going to hell, but yet we just got all this money to piss around the world everywhere, trying to piss people off. You know,
yeah, wicked winners. They're fucking up our infrastructure, and we'd rather blow fucking $2 billion a day spending money in some godforsaken fucking country that no one gives a fuck about, but we're spending billions just to be there. Again, comes back to fucking natural resources, dude. That's the only reason we're in most of these countries.
Yeah.
I mean, minus, like, you know, the World War II countries that were there just to, for the sake of defending them against Russia, you know. But, I mean, you got any of those countries. We're in Africa, we're in Asia, we're in the Middle East, and anywhere in those countries we're there because of fucking raw natural resources, you know. The oil, the minerals, you know.
Yep.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
That's my favorite
beer.
One.
Yeah.
That is my favorite.
That's Homer's natural resource, beer. Sweet beer.
Yeah, man, I'm starting to think that that's really what our army's about, our military nowadays. It's not about protecting freedom. It's about protecting natural resources for the 1%, for the military-industrial complex. You know.
Yep, corporate interest.
Yeah. It just happened lately, I think last couple weeks. They had a Navy SEAL team. You didn't even hear much about it. I saw it on the internet, but they intercepted a French vessel, or it was some other country's vessel that had been pirated off of the coast of Somalia, I think, or Ethiopia. And it was, of course, an oil tanker. And they sent a SEAL team in to fucking take it back over again, which they did. It had a fucking tanker that had nothing to do with the U.S., but here we are sending a U.S. military
U.S.
special
U.S.
forces
yeah.
in to take it back over again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's really what we're fucking, that's what we're doing around the world right now is you know, making sure the oil keeps pumping, man.
Securing corporate interests.
Yep.
That's what our military is. Our military and our police forces now are basically security forces for corporations, and you know,
for the 1%, you're right.
Yeah.
They're like
the
Blackwater,
I mean,
for the 1%. Our military and the police forces.
It's like the company security forces. You know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're down to now.
Yeah,
but,
it's fucked
up.
Hey man, what do you think about executing people, like capital punishment? Are you pro or con on that one?
No, I'm against. They've already proven that it costs more to go through and execute people. If they came up with a law where it's in a rare case where there's like more than one collaborating witness, where you could have a couple of eyewitnesses that saw somebody do it, a murder or whatever. You know, if it came, you know, if you could just totally, you know, then maybe it'd be okay. But I don't know. I don't like to do anything. I think that's what the Bible, I think that's kind of like the Bible's version of capital punishment, isn't it? They're not the Old Testament, but there's something in there somewhere that says stuff about if two people can collaborate a story, maybe that's just for lying or whatever. I don't
know.
Well,
you know, eye for an eye, you know. Fucking,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's, but I was in favor of it for a long time, man, and I still believe. I think there are some people that deserve to be executed. They've committed such a.
That's a different question. If somebody deserves to be killed for stuff they did, of course I believe that. But do I trust our judicial system?
But do you believe that they should be executed for their action? By the state.
Well, I do.
I
believe they should, but I don't believe we get stuff right. I think we're still so fucked up. I think they just, you know, black people, you know, and and Hispanics and minorities get executed a lot more than white people. And I just, you know, I just think they just, I think there's been too many. If one innocent person gets executed, they should scrap the whole fucking system. And you know there has
been
a lot.
Well, they did that in, like, Illinois. Did you see that? They had their fucking crime lab was making shit up, dude, for years.
Mm-hmm.
They were making up evidence and shit and results. And the governor pardoned everyone on death row because he couldn't guarantee that the results were fucking. So they're still in jail, but at least they won't die now, you know, because you know, the evidence may have been fucking tainted by the forensics lab. That's how fucked up it is. That's why I think there shouldn't be capital punishment in executions.
I definitely don't trust because
it can be fucked up. Just like that's a perfect example of it. And, you know, there's another example of this guy down in Texas. It was such a tragic story, dude. He lived in a trailer, didn't have a lot of money. He had a regular job, and he was with his wife, and I think he had two daughters or three daughters. And his entire family died in a fire inside the trailer, except for him. And they blamed him for it. And used faulty science for indications that he had started the fire and killed them.
Uh-huh.
And so he was on death row, and until, of course, he died, he maintained his innocence, and he was executed for the deaths of his family that he didn't cause. That was proven to be, and this he was just executed within the last year or two, I think. Now there's all this information coming out, basically proving that he couldn't have caused the fire in that house, and that the results they used were scientifically faulty. So, I mean, that's fucked up, dude. You know, I mean, how fucked up? Your family goes down, and then you're executed for it, and you didn't have anything to do with it. You know, but
terrible.
Did you hear what happened lately with this fucking guy in Ohio? Just yesterday or 2 days ago, they tried to execute him, and apparently it was a botched execution.
Oh yeah,
and apparently
that
fucker his vein burst, and so the medicine that was dispensed within his body wasn't dispensed entirely through his body. And he ended up
7 years of college down the drain.
Dude, 30 minutes it took him to die. 30 minutes. He was all in agony and shit. That's fucked up, dude. And that alone
should
prove that there shouldn't be fucking capital punishment.
I think I read some of that article. They said there wasn't a doctor available to do anything. There was no doctor there.
Which what would have mattered anyway? I guess at that point.
Well,
if
you could give him a shot of something that would kill him or put him out, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's what they need. They need an IV there that if the shit doesn't go right, it just inject something into, like, give him an overdose of morphine or something, you know.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, right. Just fucking, you know, put him out of his misery. Just a huge overdose of morphine so he's out and. A couple minutes, but this fucker sat there strapped down in agony, dude. He's clenching his teeth, grinding his teeth, and fucking, you know, his vein burst. So he's got all these lethal drugs that aren't even going through his body the way it should. And they had to close the curtain on the fucking people witnessing it.
What state was that again?
Ohio, I think.
Ohio.
That
figures.
Yeah, I think it was in Ohio.
No offense to any of our Ohio listeners. Damn,
it was actually, it was not Ohio. It was Oklahoma.
Worse
Oklahoma.
Yet. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. You
know, fucked up, man. So, you know, I mean, did he deserve it if he actually committed the crime? Yeah. I mean, deserve to die? Yeah. Did he deserve to die that way? No. I mean,
no, I don't know.
And that's why.
Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now. Here.
Fucking Huffington Post just had an article saying one out of every 25 people on death row now is thought to be innocent. They're starting to show that just because of just because of DNA that's showing some of these people that are on death row and exonerating them and shit, that it's turning out that the numbers are working out for it to be one out of every 25 or four out of every 100 on death row are innocent right now. So, you know, that's just fucked up, dude. If there's one innocent person that's killed by it, it shouldn't be happening. And obviously there has been, you know. So, I don't know. You know, do people deserve it? Yeah. Should it be happening? Probably not, man. This one lately, man.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
But if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
I was reading all the fucking details of that motherfucker, dude, and it's nasty. I mean, whether he did it or not, it was, you know.
Yeah, I just saw the headline on it. I didn't get it all the way into it, but
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, but you know, people. This is the other thing about. Again, this is all like Hitchens says, man. All of this shit's tied into religion. Most highly religious people accept execution as a form of punishment.
Yeah.
You know, most highly religious people accept execution. Now, they're fucking fanatics about a woman carrying a fucking baby in her womb, but once that motherfucker is born, they could give a fuck
Kill
about
him.
It. Yeah. It languishes in fucking starvation and poverty. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But fucking, if you want to take it out before it passes that fucking, you know, through that vagina, then man, it's the end of the world. But once it's out, it's a fucking piece of meat, you know.
That's what Carlin says. He said basically, religion looks at wants women to be basically brood mares for the state. You know, basically that's all they're good for is to produce children, you know, babies, and after that, fuck them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good.
But it's amazing how ill religious people look towards the poor and the needy nowadays, man. I mean, they just shit on those people. A lot of religious people do.
Yeah.
And I read an article where this guy was taking this church over, and he was the new pastor for the church. And it was a fairly big one. I think it was in Minnesota or somewhere. And it was his first day, and he dressed up like a bum, like a total homeless, dirty, nasty bum. and you know, kind of talked to the parishioners as they were coming in and shit. And he got a lot of, what are you doing here? You need to leave.
Yeah.
You know, get out of here. And not all of it, but he said a lot of it. And he walked around, took off, disrobed all the shit, and he ended up, you know, having regular clothes underneath and went up and did a sermon about thinking about poor people, you know. And maybe that's what religion needs to be more of.
Yeah. Well,
convincing them how fucked up they are.
I think there's a lot of good people in religion and stuff, but they're just, you know, and I think a lot of people are very charitable. I'm not going to sit here and say all people that go to church and religious people are uncharitable and I think there's some studies proving that non-religious and atheist people are usually more generous in giving to the poor. I think that I just read a study on that. I wish, you know, I start quoting this stuff and I can't remember where I read it. But I mean, for the most part, I think it's either close to the same or more. Usually non-religious people are more charitable. I mean, it's just, and I don't know why.
I don't know why
that would be, but
a lot of because I think they have a tendency to think about and concentrate on the here and now.
Some
puffy future where you're going to live up in the clouds with a leprechaun, you know.
Yeah,
and that's the reason why they call a lot of atheists call themselves humanists. You know, because it's more about the human condition here on the earth than anything that can be promised out of some book written, you know, in the Iron Age 2,000 years ago or whatever it was. I think it was the Iron Age. But, you know, people, atheists are more concerned with the people of the here and now than I'm going to be judged and go to heaven or hell and some crazy alternate reality once I, you know. you know, it's just it's more of how their condition is here on the earth, man. And I think that's really what it's all about.
Right. Right.
But you're right. They do. I mean, you know, a lot of religious people look at those other people as kind of, you know, subhuman and not even real in some cases. Like, you know, Palin talking about torturing these guys to baptize them and shit, man. And you know, that's insane, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
If she had any clue about how they live their lives or anything, maybe she has some fucking empathy or compassion about, you know, where they've come from and why they're where they're at that moment, which is, I'm sure they were given some fucking reason, probably religion mainly, obviously, but I'm sure there was others, you know, their family was killed by U.S. forces or a drone or who knows what, you know. I mean, a lot of it is that a lot of those people have connections somehow to the U.S., either being injured by them or working with them.
Yeah.
Look at Osama bin Laden, man. That motherfucker was a CIA asset before he supposedly
yep.
was the mastermind of 9/11, you know?
Right.
I mean, Google Tim Osman, Osman, and you'll be shocked at what you see. Pictures come up of him. That was his CIA asset name, and all these these declassified documents were found of him. You know, there's pictures of him and that fucking Zbigniew Brzezinski, who used to be the top foreign advisor for Obama, and was for Clinton, I believe. Even he goes all the way back to Carter. But in 1980, there's a picture of that motherfucker shaking hands with Osama bin Laden. Bin Laden's got a fucking big-ass machine gun in his hands, and Brzezinski's got a big old smile on his face as we're feeding fucking machine guns and grenade launchers to fight the Soviets.
Yep.
You know, we worked with that motherfucker for years, man. And then suddenly he turns and, you know, again, going back to it all, it just doesn't make sense.
It's all fishy.
Well,
hey, I wanted to bring up an article here I was looking at. I found it again, and I don't know if you've probably seen it. I think it was on Facebook today also again. And I was speaking of crazy right-wing religious people that are off the rocker. This guy was really bad. Former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, who was caught having sex with a black male prostitute. Did you see that one? The guy's name is Frazier Glenn Miller, who is also known as Frazier Glenn Cross, is accused of killing a doctor, his teenage grandson, and a mother of three outside a community center in nearby village in Shalom Senior Living Center, April 13th. He was now 73. He was caught by Raleigh, North Carolina police in a backseat of a car engaged in sex act with a black male prostitute who is dressed as a woman, according to ABC News report. I'd like to see that one with whoever the ABC anchor is reporting that. That'd been funny.
Yeah.
They said, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Miller was the subject of a nationwide manhunt in 87 for violating the terms of his bond. He was later found in a mobile home in rural Missouri surrounded by grenades, automatic weapons, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. This motherfucker is he's a real winner.
He was head of the KKK in the area.
Yeah, he was in 87.
That goes right back to us. All the gay haters being gay. There's an African American hater loving, you know, digging on the African Americans.
Not only banging a gay a black
transvestite.
Yeah, gay man at. He's black, too, and he was the leader of the he was a former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
All wrapped
That's
up
crazy.
In one big ball, man, of what the fucking KKK hates right there, and he's doing that dude in the back seat of the car. Wait a minute. So let me get this straight. So this dude gets caught in the back seat of the car and then goes out and kills some people because of being caught by it?
You know, I don't understand. Let me see. It says... He was charged.
I guess that's
with
not important. I mean, it's just him fucking being caught anyway. You know what came to mind? What's that?
It says a former Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon who has been charged with killing three people outside two Kansas Jewish centers earlier this month is revealed to have been arrested in the 80s for having sex with a man in a car.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the guy that killed the
right.
they weren't even Jewish. He killed like three people outside a Jewish center in Kansas.
Well, the guy
Frazier Glenn Miller, he was arrested in the 80s for having gay sex with a black man.
Wow.
So they're just piling on now.
He's a cute, crazy fuck. He is one of those guys that should have been locked away in a mental institution a long time ago, but,
we
closed them all. closed all of them so that they're fucking out in the streets and killing people that don't have anything to do with anything, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Fuck, dude. That's I had not insane. Heard about that other part. He was infamous. They were showing clips of him on TV in the 80s doing interviews.
He looks kind of like Charles Manson, like a little better
bit.
Groomed Charles Manson.
Yeah, a little bit. Man, that's some crazy shit, dude. And, of course, I'm sure he's a Bible thumper. You got to
know that. Oh, that's what he is. Well, yeah, he's
KKK. I guess
KKK
they're all Bible thumpers.
Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like Southern Baptist or something.
Yeah.
They're definitely Christian. It all
goes back to it, man. When I was reading that book by Hitchens that God is not great, it made me realize one of the things that it was such an eye opener, but one of the things that made me realize is how many despicable things that religion has allowed us to accept, even down to simple shit like fucking, cutting your dick up, other religions, they cut the clit off and shit of women.
That reminds me, when you said cutting the dick off, I was thinking Lorena Bobbitt. Remember?
I live with a very dangerous woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get your rabbi. Well, not even. Don't even have to be a rabbi, man. I mean, you get, a lot of Christians get circumcised, man. And one of the chapters in his book is about mutilation, about especially sexual mutilation, but it happens all over the world in all kinds of different religions, and it's totally acceptable. And I saw a video of him. He was debating a rabbi, and the rabbi he says something like, "Did you see that one where the rabbi says something like, well, most people say that they don't think it's more than just a little, a little haircut or something like that."
Yeah.
And man, Hitchens just hitched onto that shit, and he goes, "That's exactly the kind of thinking that makes religion absolutely despicable, that you can compare genital mutilation to a haircut." And he just nailed it.
Marge, are we Jewish?
No, huh?
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Tore him up right there. And rabbi,
yeah.
You could almost hear him go, "Doh!" After Hitchens.
Yeah,
right,
I did that. The Homer, "Doh!"
Yeah. "Doh!"
I shouldn't have. Yeah, he shouldn't have started talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to get one of those. You got to get a "Doh" drop, man.
Yeah, "Doh." I got to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, you should try and find those fucking Bushisms, dude. They're hilarious. I'll see if I can find them and maybe send you the link, but they are so fucking funny. They're all of George Bush, and there's like 50, 60 of them, and all of them are saying just absolutely ridiculous shit, man. And so, shit he didn't realize. I mean, that was stupid. Just, and people started laughing, and he finally realized from the reaction that what he was saying was absolutely ridiculous, But I'll have to find him, man. There's some good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it's got the... Yeah. That one takes forever. Of course, it's got the famous, fool me once. Shame on me, fool me twice.
Yeah, fool me again. Shame on you.
You couldn't even finish the fucking phrase. Oh, my God. That guy is such a fucking fool, man.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
It just goes to show it doesn't matter who's president nowadays. From some idiot that barely passed college to a Harvard constitutional lawyer like we've got now, and they're almost the exact same administration.
Right.
Yeah.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
That's the heinous thing about about Obama too, and him keeping all these Patriot Act in place and the passing the NDAA. He's a fucking constitutional lawyer, man. He's an expert on the Constitution from Harvard, and he's shitting all over. Maybe that's why he went to college, to figure out loopholes that he could try and, you know, destroy if he ever, you know, made it big in politics.
That's why I've come to the realization. I don't think he has really a lot to do with the problems in America, what's going on. I think this stuff is all laid out well before he gets in there. There's not really a whole lot he could do. He doesn't have control. He has to go along with the program. If he doesn't go along with the program, then just get rid of him. You know, get rid of him.
One
he'll
way
get
or another.
Sick. He'll get hit. They got ways that can make him sick. He could die of natural causes in a year. I mean, anything could happen.
Lose the re-election. Lose the re-election and get rid of,
You know, all of a sudden you always hear rumors about the gay stuff about him, that he had a gay lover in college, or, you know, and, you know, they said he used to go to bathhouses. These are all rumors, you know. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think anything's ever been substantiated. But all of a sudden that would all come out as true fact. They would have people come forward.
Yep.
They got dirt on everybody, man. They just, you know, you just have to go along with the program. He ain't going to rock
the whole – just like the whole Clinton Lewinsky deal, that was so non-organic. He drops a load on her dress, and she saves the dress, they were trying to push him out, and it didn't have anything to do with. Well, it did have to, a lot to do with partisan politics, but also
I think a lot of it had to do with other shit. You know, I think a lot of the stuff with NAFTA and all that, they pushed NAFTA through with him in there, and.
He also repealed that fucking Glass-Steagall Act, which was one of the main components of regulation of the banking industry, and the repeal of that act allowed all these fucking derivatives and shit like that to come into place, and loosen almost completely removed a ton of regulation of the financial industry and the banks, and he signed a repeal of it. And basically that was a major portion of the responsibility of these banks going fucking insane, and still are, because that Glass-Steagall Act is still repealed. So
speaking of banks, you had an article you wanted to talk about, the banks in the porn industry.
Yeah, dude. Speaking of banks, so here, this is fucking crazy, dude.
Nice transition.
Yeah, the banking and the finance, one of our favorite subjects, or mine, is the finance industry, and they fucking, so what's been going on, I don't know, somebody must have gotten a bug up their ass, man. It must have been someone religious within Chase, you know, Chase fucking Manhattan Bank, Chase Bank, and what they did is the title of this article in Raw Story, it's been reported a few different places, but it's in rawstory.com, and the headline is "The Morality Police in Your Checking Account: Chase Shuts Down Accounts of Adult Entertainers." So they went through and found all the porn stars that were banking with them and closed their accounts out. And they won't fucking tell them why. I guess they gave an explanation to one of the chicks that was interviewed, and she said that they said that she was high risk. High risk.
High risk.
Uh-huh.
Well, whatever the fuck that means, man.
Uh-huh.
So here we got Chase, dude. Chase Manhattan Bank. We talked about them last week with Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
So not only did they pay a massive fine for funneling the money from fucking Bernie Madoff, the $30 to $50 billion, which they still don't even know how much, but it was tens of billions, through one bank account. So Chase, of course, knew what was going on there, right? Absolutely knew what was going on. They also have been investigated on several occasions for laundering money for drug cartels. Most banks in the world have already paid some sort of fine for that. Chase never did.
Right.
HSBC did, paid a massive fine for laundering drug money. Wells Fargo did. Chase did not. And, of course, Jamie Dimon, which is fucking involved with Obama, was head of Chase. So I think he was, if not J.P. Morgan. He was the head of one of them. But so we've got this fucking bank that's laundering money for the worst assassins, drug dealers in the world, they're fucking contributing, one of the major contributors to the worldwide financial crisis that was responsible for funneling massive amounts of money from the poor and the middle class to the banking industry and the elite in the world. And they're fucking on their high horse canceling banking accounts for the porn industry. What
the fuck
is that?
Hey, quit praising on me, will you?
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous, dude.
I mean, banking, they're just out of control, man. They're crazy.
It's you can't even believe it. You couldn't make this shit up, some of the stuff that goes on. I mean, a lot of times I read this stuff. Facebook, to me, I've kind of become a little jaded. I just read this stuff, and I'm just like, I can't. It's almost too ridiculous to believe, you know. I mean, you just read it and shake your head, and you think, wow, we are fucked up, man, as a country. We are fucked up.
Yeah, well, you know, and they're more than willing to law, they being Chase and Wells Fargo and HSBC, more than willing to fucking launder drug money, you know, freely as much as possible, but they're unwilling to take the money from these fucking pot shops in Colorado and stuff. The fucking Department of Justice had to come in and say you should be doing business with these people.
Did you see that show? I think the show's called Vice. It's on HBO. I don't know if you had HBO or not. I couldn't remember if you said you did.
No,
there's a show
I don't
called
HBO.
Vice. Yeah, there's a show called Vice on HBO. It's kind of like a super salacious, kind of really cool, hip version of like 60 Minutes or something. But it's like one of them kind of news shows. They got these kind of short documentaries, and they go in. Well, they were doing one on the basically all the growers now, the professional businesses growing in Colorado, and they were saying that they are taking just in Colorado, I can't remember how many billions, it was like $30 billion a year now, the Mexican drug lords are losing just from the growing of pot in Colorado. And they were like, they had the guys that were on all these different ATFs and everything and anti-drug task force and stuff that used to work in Colorado, they are now like private security firms for these growers, these mass growers in Colorado, and they follow them back and forth for their drops. And when they're bringing in product, bringing stuff in and out, when they're transferring money, they have all these security guards that have like they'll be like in an armored SUV with an armored SUV in front and back of them with guys with all loaded with guns following them around. And they have in the dispensaries when they in the stores where they have pops and cookies and all types of treats and all, you know, THC. And they got a lot of wild-looking stuff. And they have armed guards inside the store, walking around dressed in civilian clothes. Because they're worried about being attacked from these drug lords and stuff.
Really?
Or whatever. Yeah. So now all these guys that used to fight, they said, don't you find it kind of hypocritical, or do you feel weird that you used to bust guys like this, and now you're protecting them and you're helping them make money? And the guy goes, well, it's legal now. And he goes, it's all totally turned around. It's wild.
Yeah. I just saw, I don't know. Speaking of weed, there's something going through the state Senate in Michigan that they're going to try. Yeah. They're trying to pass a law to make it legal for roadside stops to test for marijuana. Breathalyzer for marijuana.
Breathalyzer for marijuana.
Rick Snyder's just a piece of crap, man. He is.
That's ridiculous.
Him and his fucking subversion of democracy, him taking over these fucking cities that are under quote unquote financial duress, financial crisis.
Yeah.
Such fucking bullshit. He's basically targeted all these union towns and went in and put an emergency manager in there to force them into bankruptcy to give them an excuse to break the union, because that's one of the only reasons that a city can break contracts with the union is if they go bankrupt, and Detroit's about to go through that themselves.
No, they're already through. They're almost through it.
Yeah.
We're getting through.
That fucking guy, dude. He's about to take over like 3 or 4 more cities, and now they're using using that as an excuse for school systems. If a school system is in financial trouble, they're going to send in a fucking financial manager, and then of course that school and its curriculum and its teachers will be run by that fucking financial manager sent by good old hardcore Rick Snyder from, you know, right wing Rick Snyder, you know, who's best buddies with fucking Walker in Wisconsin and whatever else, man. So he's
getting
set up a fucking, he's getting a serfdom set up, dude.
That's what he's
doing. He's sending out all of his fucking little, his little, I don't know what they're called here, but, you know, the ones that get to own the land and all the serfs work for him, for the king. You know, he's the king and he's got all these fuckers. And pretty soon everybody's going to be like out in the fields raking again and shit, raking fucking wheat and, you know, harvesting crops and shit for the fucking, for the castle.
It's going to be back to the Middle Ages, dude. I'm telling you, that's what they want. They want to throw us back to the Middle Ages. I honestly believe that if it took a fucking nuclear detonation in this country to get us to have the laws and have everything go the way they want and have a total security state where everybody's chip ID'd and locked down and you're fucking, you can't do nothing without everybody knowing where you're going and, you know, just super rich and just the poor, you know, people working for everybody. They would do it, dude. I think they would do it. They're crazy enough to fucking, they're crazy enough to kill a million or so people, burn them up, and then have a millions of people around the area be sick for years and dying and kill a few more people off from radiation sickness just to have this country the way they want. I mean, I think there's people that are willing to do it and there's people that are willing to carry it out, you know? So, I mean, it's, it's scary. It's a scary time, you know, it's, that's why the bad part about it is it
only depends on what kind of person you got in the fucking, that can make that shit happen. You know, you got a Dick Cheney in there where he takes over for NORAD, the head of NORAD, first time ever in its history that we had a we had a civilian running NORAD, and it was Cheney by a self decree. You know, you got people doing shit like that. It just depends on if you got someone with a that's an evil motherfucker, and they want to do something for the gain of you know, for money, for greed, man, and they're willing to do some fucking heinous shit. And,
did you watch the last Friday's what's his name show on that's what you just said you didn't have HBO. I was watching Bill Maher the last Friday show, but I watched it yesterday on DVR, taped it, and they had the liberal Koch brother was on there. I can't remember his name for the life of me. He's the third, I think, the third Koch brother. I don't know, he's the younger,
is he rich,
the younger one.
He got money.
He's
also,
I think he's worth billions too, and I guess he's liberal, and they had him on there, and it was funny. Bill Maher was just ripping him. He's like, well, how much is enough? He goes, don't you think, you know, once you get to you have billions, why would you want billions more? And he just sat there and stared at him, and he goes, you're right. He goes, it's insane. But I don't know if he actually believed it or not. I don't know. Maher wouldn't let up on him. He goes, I want an answer. He goes, answer me. He goes, why do you, your brothers, keep needing more and more money? What is their problem? Why are they? He said it's competition. Yeah, we have more money than we could ever spend the rest of our lives. He said it's competition. They're competing against something or somebody else. They're competing. That's what it is. That's what his explanation. This Koch brother, this supposed liberal Koch brother, not the two Republican ones or whatever.
Well,
this
fuck,
guy said
that's fucking, they're relieving trading places then.
With
fucking Eddie Murphy in it.
They're making people all over the world and in this country ruining millions of people's lives, ruining people financially because they've got this competitive hard on that they've got to, get as much money as they can before they die. You know, people like that, dude. They need a fucking bullet in the head. I mean, it's really people like that.
They need their castles fucking charged, man. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, they need another Bastille Day for some of these fucking people that are causing pain and distress to the masses. And I don't know if that'll ever happen, man. But some of those fuckers just like that are deliberately causing pain and suffering to the masses, they need another fucking Bastille Day, man, right here, and take some of that back. You know.
I know, it's crazy, but it's just, you know, you, I mean, if that's really the reason, I mean, there is no good reason, really, but it's just, you know. And then, well, also I was reading about that, I think you saw that on there, you had commented on the Ayn Rand book, the Atlas Shrugs, and
yeah.
A fictional book about how the rich, you know, it's from the rich point of view perspective that they're the
right.
good people, they're taking care of the world, or they're the generous
right.
people, but it's all the poor people who are ruining everything and all that. And then I can't remember who commented on it. We were commenting back and forth a little bit, but somebody
you
wrote
know,
on
good
there,
buddy,
said,
our good buddy commented on it.
No. Well, it was our good buddy,
but
it's not the one
name.
I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's not the one I'm thinking of, though. Somebody
oh,
said
yeah,
that
there was
they,
someone else in there, too.
Yeah, somebody else was saying you don't understand. You know what? I might have been confusing comments from another thread I was reading about that same book. But somebody was
yeah.
saying, "Did you ever read the book? You didn't read the book. You don't know what you're talking about." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" I just read the story from the guy's perspective that wrote the story about the book, and you know, I guess it's fiction, but it's you know, it's just a you know, it's just like ass backwards. You know, for, it's like from I don't
it's
even
a
know,
piece
I don't really
of
want
fucking
to say
corporate hoo-ha, dude. It starts
yeah.
off with a fucking this poor railroad baron. And he's got all kinds of fucking cars just sitting idle because of all of the terrible, terrible government oversight and red tape, and his inefficiencies
yeah.
are everywhere because of the government, and he could accomplish so much more and create so many more jobs, and if it was just, if the evil, mean government would just get out
yeah.
of that poor, poor railroad baron's hair and long enough for him to do what he wanted to do. It's a bunch of fucking
yeah.
fascist corporate hoo-ha, dude.
Yep.
And
this
is the thing about, again, railing on the fucking GOP again, and Ayn Rand in particular, man. This chick,
yeah.
she's a proponent of fascism, man. I mean, the very definition of fascism is a fucking a state that is run by the corporate entities, where the government is run by the corporations. And that's
yeah.
exactly what she's advocating in that book. No government
yep.
for oversight or you know or whatever else. Let the fucking corporations run wild.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So basically 100 people in the world run the whole world. That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want they, well, they want 100 people
anyway.
To run everything. Yeah. Well, that's kind of how
I mean, we're getting
it,
to that point
it,
anyway.
They
want the government out of every single thing. And Ayn Rand, you know, she's making these points of oh, the railroad would run so much better if the government just didn't, you know, delay my deliveries and impose a tax here and whatever. And I'm running so
right.
inefficient because of the government. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a fucking total fascist wet dream, man. It's a fascist
yeah.
wet dream, and these people think that it's some sort of utopia where business would run unfettered and everything would be okay. But you're talking about, like, no Nuclear Regulatory Commission, no NRC. You're talking about fucking, you know, nuclear waste being dumped wherever the fuck the nuclear companies wanted
yeah.
to dump it. You're talking
oh,
about FAA, Federal Aviation Administration. You're
yeah,
talking about instead of planes being inspected every, whatever it is, 200,000 or 300,000 miles, it's every million miles or whatever, you know, because of
yeah.
costs. You know that would happen.
Yeah.
And the
oh,
only
yeah.
way that the market would correct itself with something like that is if you had some sort of terrible disaster where everyone was fucking
yeah.
wiped out and there was enough public outrage to say, you guys need to all stop, go back to the 300,000 miles of air time, you know, whatever, airflow
right.
miles for inspection instead of what you would. It's going to take, every single time you need a change, it's going to take some sort of massive populist movement to do it.
Right.
Every single time. Because there's no government there to stop it, man.
Yeah.
You know? There's no government to regulate it.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Look at all the scenarios. No FAA, no Nuclear Regulatory Commission. I mean, you know, the government is too big. You and I think, both agree on that. But
oh,
that's
yeah.
That is what it's there for.
Yes.
The government is there to protect the people against fucking... against overreach by corporations to regulate them.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yep.
what they're there
exactly.
for. You know?
Right.
I mean, if you're
yep.
gonna, if you're gonna buck up, if you're gonna cut fucking government, cut the military, cut the police forces,
yeah.
get it back down to where people aren't fucking frightened of their own police forces, local police forces, or their own military coming, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But they want to they
right.
want to fucking, you know, Ayn Rand and all their followers, they don't want any sort of regulation, and that's where I think
no.
Ron Paul fails, because that's he's all about that
yeah.
also.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there has to be some checks and balances. They can't just run amok. I mean,
yeah.
we'd be drinking cow's milk with PC or not, what's the PCBs in it and stuff from
yeah,
the toxins
right.
and all,
right.
all the pesticides and everything. I remember they had that was it DDT scare where that DDT that toxic carcinogen chemical was getting in all the milk for it. That was back in the late '70s, early mid '80s, I believe they had that where the DDT was getting in the milk. You know, I
yeah.
mean, I mean, they would just
or
let that happen and not
something.
Tell nobody.
But
yeah,
they ended up
that,
having to kill
DDT.
Tons of cows.
Like
a,
like,
I remember that.
It was like a pesticide that was getting
yeah.
in there. It was getting in cow's milk. It was like some kind
yep.
of they were using it, spraying it somewhere, but it was fucking up the cow milk. It was making it
yeah.
toxic.
Kill,
and, you know,
yeah.
who knows if that would ever came out, you know, if there wasn't if government regulatory commissions
right.
and stuff checking that stuff.
I mean,
you know?
Can you imagine all the secrecy and shit corporations? I mean, they wouldn't want to tell the public anything. Any,
no.
I mean, they don't already. You know, can you imagine? And, you know, the biggest
well, look,
argument
look,
against, like, all this shit, we give examples, oh, you know, all this stuff would happen, you know, all the corruption, and a lot of these people, pro, like, the Ayn Rand group are like, well, it's happening already. And we've got this, we've got this massive government structure, and it's happening already. It's happening already because they're not doing their jobs. You know, they're
yeah.
not allowed to fucking, they're not allowed to go after these corporations the way they need to, you know. So
right.
so allowing these companies, these corporations to run rampant, you know.
Right.
And if they just held them to the law of the regulations that we mainly have on the books already, a lot of this shit would stop, man. A lot of the pollution, a lot of the fucking, you know, the rampant overstep by these corporations, a bunch of that shit would just go away if we just fucking held them accountable. Start throwing people in jail
exactly.
for it, you know.
Yep.
I mean,
right.
there's this whole thing with GM and stuff. I mean, there is, like, where
gonna,
is the accountability with corporations,
mind.
Man? Huh?
You just read my mind. I was just going to say, what about the GM?
Yeah. Where's
that,
the accountability
yeah.
with that shit, dude? I mean, they go off and
yeah.
kill. They're responsible for 13, 14 deaths, I think, now. Why isn't there anybody
yeah.
in jail? It's corporate homicide,
right.
you know?
Right.
But,
right. Exactly.
You know, and I'm sure I can guarantee you there are laws already on the books against that shit, but no one's doing
yeah.
anything about it. You know?
Yeah, right. I don't think they can put them in jail for, you know, for that. I don't know. It's like
I don't
yeah,
know,
like
man.
Said,
if they normally put out a product that killed someone, they can. I'm positive they can. That's
yeah.
that's not only negligence, but it's fraudulent negligence and. Something else.
It would be hard to prove.
You can, if you're making something and you know that it's going to harm someone else after you sell it to them, that's against the law.
But there's so many. I mean, who would you hold accountable? The CEO? I mean, who's going to take the fall for that? That's the thing, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Well,
don't
it's got to be that we're. I don't know. I mean, track them down. It's at this point, you know, it's a criminal investigation, man. Fucking track down
right.
the people that were responsible for the design, or you know, they said they've known that for years, like 10, 15 years. So obviously,
yeah.
there some people within the company reported it as deficient, you know, and other people chose to cover it up and not do anything about it.
Yeah,
and that happens all the time, dude. It happens in our food chain. It happens everywhere where this shit is happening. They know it's happening. It's going to go out. It's going to either infect or kill people, and they still let it happen all for the sake of profit.
Right.
You know, it's
yep.
always it fucking.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
No. But I've been on a real big boat.
That's what I'm worried about, the shrimp. I think the shrimp is all fucked up.
Right.
Every time I eat shrimp, I feel bad now because the Gulf BP oil spill and everything and all
yeah.
the chemicals they used on that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, You know, and that's the perfect example, man. They fucking polluted that the Gulf of Mexico like a motherfucker. And then they just had planes pass over and spray another chemical on top of the oil just to hide it, just so it would sink below the surface.
Yep.
You know, they're not cleaning it up. They're just hiding it. And that's good enough. You know, they're done now.
Are we still eating that shrimp that comes out of there?
Fuck yeah, you are, dude. Fuck yeah, you are. They declared that as safe again in the Gulf. Or how about any of the fucking radioactive sea life, swimming by Fukushima and then going out into the rest of the ocean?
You have a tuna melt.
All they do is eat seafood. You know, I mean, you gotta know their cancer rates are gonna go up like a motherfucker now, man.
Well, I know. You have a tuna melt at your local diner, and you get up the next day, you look in the mirror, and you're like, man, my teeth look a lot whiter. I don't know why.
I'm glowing.
My teeth are glowing.
I have a strange green aura emanating from my body.
It must have been
the shrimp.
I got this weird plutonium taste in my mouth. unstable plutonium in you.
Yeah, but they're getting all kinds of like crazy sea life washing up on the shore. You know, the shores in California, Washington State, you know, Canada, and it goes back to these fucking corporations doing whatever the fuck they want, not being held accountable, man. I mean, they're making products that are killing people. They have the technology to stop it. You know, I mean, GM had the money and the technology to correct it and chose not to. And I'm sure that's just one of a million examples in corporate America where they chose money over people. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. And that's fucking Ayn Rand, man, to a T.
Yep. Right.
You know.
People are disposable too, you know. The workers and stuff. That's like
Human resource. That's why. Where do you think they get that fucking department in the company? Human resource. You know, it may be there to fucking fire people, but you know, it's.
Well, that's like the company that I worked for, the Steel Corporation. We've had four fatalities since I quit working there, and four since last August, and one of them was a big accident, and it was something that failed, a mechanical failure. And when OSHA came in to investigate it, all the people that were related to it or knew something about it, they got them out of the department. They wouldn't let them. They gave the game the day off, or they got them out of the department. They hit them, or they sent them somewhere else in the plant. And so they were talking to people that didn't know nothing about it because they were covering it up. They didn't want nothing to get out. So I mean, that's the kind of thing. You know, they're one of the hugest companies in the world, and they're a bunch of evil fucks, man. And you know, I've got sour grapes because you know the way I left there and everything, so I'm getting a little bit of a sour grapes. But they're horrible. They don't really care about people, dude. You're just a number in there. You're a disposable fucking piece of meat. You know, they wear you out. They wear your body out, and then they just throw you in the trash, man. When you're done, they don't give a fuck about you.
Heavy industries, man. They're like a meat grinder.
Say all safety is in there. They always preach safety, safety, safety. All safety is to them is a way to get you in trouble, a way to discipline you after the fact because you didn't follow safe procedures if something goes wrong. All it is a way for them to hang your ass and fire you when something goes wrong in there.
Yeah.
That's all it is. They don't give a fuck about people's safety.
Because you work in a dangerous environment, and they know it's going to happen. You know, they know it's going to happen, so they're just
people
waiting
die
for when it does for an excuse to get you to not have to pay for it.
Yeah, and nobody ever dies in there. You could be covered under 100 tons of molten lava, and they'll say you died on the way to the hospital. Nobody ever died.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. So it's the most hilarious thing, seeing people smashed, crushed. You know, there's no way they're alive, and they take them out, and they're like, oh, they died on the way to the hospital. They died in the hospital or at the hospital. They never will admit anybody dies in the plant because I guess it's some insurance payout thing or something.
That's like Disney, dude. I read that same thing about Disney. All the EMT people there are trained, even if like the person's just stone cold dead, like say have a heart attack or stroke or whatever.
Yeah.
They coach the EMT people to be like, it's all right, Mr. Smith. We'll get you to the hospital and we'll fix you right up. And they coach them to talk to the dead person to make it look like they're still alive.
Yeah, they try to make it look like they're alive. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's how it is where I was working. Yeah, same
Holy
thing.
Holy shit, dude.
You're burnt to a crisp.
Profitable people, man. It would fucking collateral damage, disposable, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's certainly people have been run through the ringer with that shit, dude. How about fucking Monsanto, man? Talk about a despicable company. They're trying to fucking all the chemicals, that Roundup, which is sprayed all around me here. It's been proven to lower IQs in children. And, they're trying to patent new life forms they're trying to put a patent on. And they're not allowing, like, they don't allow you to resell the seeds. Like, if you had a seed that you harvested from the year before, they don't allow you to sell it. And you got to, I mean, they're getting it, they're locking it down. So
you
don't have much of a choice but to go through them if you're a fucking farmer growing food in our food chain, our food supply.
Right. They're getting rid of all the heirloom seeds and stuff, and they're going to have all their seeds or whatever.
Yeah,
they don't want anybody. They don't want anybody using heirloom seeds anymore.
Yeah,
but that's
there's a lot of companies that are banned, or a lot of countries that are banning Monsanto.
Yeah.
Russia has, and a couple countries in Europe have banned GMOs, and it's starting to have people are freaking out about Monsanto, and they should. There's something going on with Monsanto. I mean, all the crazy shit they got going on trying to patent life forms and control our food supply. And I mean, talk about – there's not much more evil than that shit, dude.
Well, they're killing off all the honeybees too. And, I mean, when there's no bees left, what pollinates stuff,
Right. Butterflies doing stuff, but even Einstein talked about that. He said, I forgot the time frame he said, but if bees die off, then humans only have like another year to 2 years to live if all the bees die off. He talked about it back when he was alive. So I mean, they pollinate the crops and
like is because they said don't the honeybees screw up their crops, the GMO crops, when they try to pollinate.
Well, I don't know.
I think.
It probably kills the bees.
I
don't know if it screws the crop up, but I think the fucking all the chemicals they're spraying on the crops just to keep them alive are killing the bees or messing up their genetics or whatever it's doing. I mean, that's what I think is it's fucking chemicals being sprayed on the crops, the pesticides and the fucking herbicides and shit.
Well, obviously they don't have a problem with the bees dying off because they keep doing it. So, I mean, for some reason they keep doing it. But, I mean, at some point when all the bees die off, I mean, just now, like, where I live, there's no bees. I never see any bees in the summer in the city here. There's no bees.
They're pretty rare,
and I don't know.
Even out here.
I mean, I've heard people say they've saw them. Like, you could go out to, like, a cider mill where there's apple cider and syrup and donuts and everything, and there's all that. You'll see some bees out there. But for the most part, I don't see bees, like, around us, flying around the flowers and stuff. I don't even hardly see bees anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess something's got to be pollinating your flowers, but they're definitely less in numbers. They're fucking way less in numbers. I live out in the middle of an entire field that needs to be pollinated, and then we grow a garden off the side of our house, and have flowers with it. And it's noticeably less bees around here, man. So I don't know what it is, but it's just the whole fucking way you farm using Monsanto is unsustainable. I mean, I guess we're part of the problem because we lease like 20 acres of our land to this guy, and he's local, but he's a corporate farmer. He tills like 8,000 acres or some outrageous amount.
Wow.
It's a massive amount in three different states. And you go out on our land, dude, and I tell you what, all you got to do is walk back to where he does these fields, and he doesn't even till anymore. what they've got it down to where they can deposit a seed in the soil and spray it two or three times throughout the year and get a crop. They don't even turn the soil over anymore. It pushes the seed down into the soil. And he said that they're so automated that he's got a satellite that tells his tractors when they're planting, tells them how many seeds to plant, how fast the tractor needs to go on specific parts of my land. So if the pH content is higher in one spot than another, it's treated differently by that same tractor. But the fucking land itself, dude, going back to Monsanto and how it's grown, is it almost looks like a desert, bro. You can walk back behind our fucking property, and it's been grown, I don't know how long it's been leased out. Now, probably longer than we've lived here. We've lived here about 5 years, probably maybe 8-9 years now.
Yeah.
And it looks like a desert, dude. There are cracks in the soil. And you know where I live, the soil is a motherfucker. It's dark, black. It looks like lava. The garden right next to our house where that hasn't occurred is like super rich fucking soil. You walk out 300-400 feet back behind our big barn out here where we've leased the land out, and it's like a fucking desert, dude. The land is like, the soil is all cracked and dry and shit.
If they're not rotating the crops, or they have those weird crop, genetically modified crops, I wonder if that's just fucking the soil up, you know? It's
part of it, too, is they don't till the land anymore. So the old crops, even the leftovers, say the leftover corn stalks or whatever you got left,
just
the leftover bean stalks, you used to get tilled under the soil. And you would also have, you'd have things dying on the ground, which you don't anymore because of all the fucking Roundup. You know, you'd have weeds growing and dying, and it'd be providing organic material for the soil, you know? And now there's none there. It's completely sustained by chemicals. It's planted, and, you know, they like I said, they spray, I think, two or three times a year, and that's
that
it, man.
That stuff can't be good. Does that stuff get
fuck
your groundwater
no,
or anything? Or the fuck?
I don't
that?
Know, man. I've thought about having our water tested. I'm almost scared to find out what's in it. I'm almost fucking scared to find out what's in our water. Because, you know, I mean, if it's not him, it's someone else. I mean, right now, they're planning right now, you know. They're trying to get fucking something in the ground because the weather's been so funky, they're having a hard time. But right now, you're seeing these massive vehicles going by with these huge plastic tanks on them. And they've got these big-ass arms that swing out, and they can spray huge swaths of land. You know, it's basically a tractor with these 20-foot arms on each side of it with sprayers on the bottom side. They just fucking boom, back and forth. And, you know, we've got family land on each side of us. So we own about he plants about 25 acres of ours, and then another, I think, 60 or 70 on either side of us. And so, you know, he's got a pretty big piece of land, and it's all around us, man. And so you'll see him go back through there, and sure enough, they'll spray. The thing I have noticed since we've been leasing to this guy, I don't see when he does it. It's almost like they fucking come out at nighttime to do the spraying. Because I've not once seen him out in our fucking property actually spraying the crops. But I know it happens because I've seen him park there. They park right on the road. You know, waiting for who knows what, and then, you know, they're out there
probably
night or whatever spraying.
They probably know it's bad for you to breathe, you know?
You
what
think.
Is it, man?
I don't know, you know. I don't know. Maybe that's just a personal. I haven't noticed them back in our, but, you know, it's going on the fifth year now. We've leased our land to this guy, I think, or fourth. You think at least once I would have caught him back there spraying, you know, and I have not once seen him on our property spraying, which I know happens, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
So it's funky, man. I don't know. And it's all at Monsanto Roundup, and, you know, a lot of people are saying it's bumping the bees off. And, dude, the bees go, we're gone. Kiss us goodbye as a fucking, you know, human species.
Yeah. I don't know. My question is to these Monsanto GMO foods, these crops, do they need to be pollinated by bees?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, maybe they just have something that they spray on it that provides the food and the pollination. But I think that it does. I mean, I could be wrong with the genetically modified stuff, but I think almost anything that grows needs to be pollinated somehow. I mean, if it's a fruit, if it produces some sort of food or a bloom, then it's got to be pollinated.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we can get a biologist on. Tell us what's going on there.
They're
disappearing everywhere, man. You're seeing people getting in, even in like inner city, they're putting up fucking like box beehives in their backyards and shit. And I've seen a lot of that going on to try and, you know.
Keep bees.
Yeah. Get things going. So,
that might
be
a good new business to get into trying to be a beekeeper.
Yeah. You know, I actually built one. I got a bee trap. I've built, and I got a bee. It's not a square box hive, but it's a freestanding hive that I built. I didn't get into it, man, because it started looking like it's going to be a lot of money. You got to get a suit and a smoker and a fucking and a centrifugal thing that separates the honey and the comb and all kinds of shit. I looked into it.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of money just to start it up. So I still have them out, though, man. Worst comes to worst, if I need some honey, I can get them out. And I got a trap that it's like a half box that you you fucking put it onto a tree, and you got to put these slots on the top, and it's got to have a bottom like a chicken wire bottom to it, and a hole in the side for the bee, you know. And you just basically fucking go out and hang it on a tree. And you get some things that attract the bee into it if you can, and then you transfer it from that fucking trap to your bigger setup. You know, you get a hive, ideally get a queen in there or a bee that signals the hive to come in and make its home right in that fucking trap, and then you transfer it over, you find the queen and transfer the queen in the bigger fucking hive. But I started building a couple things. I started looking at money. I was like, man, that's fucking. So I may still, I don't know, I still have them sitting out there, and I just haven't done anything with them yet, so I may still yet.
Yeah, you can tell something's going on with bees, because you ever go out and try to buy a big jar of organic, like, real honey, not the shit they sell in the grocery stores that's, like, mostly corn syrup or whatever, and even real honey, but, like, real honey, natural honey, it's expensive.
It's expensive.
It's went
stuff.
Way,
and
way
you know
up
what that is, too?
Year.
Honey is one of the best things you can take for, like, combating allergies and shit. The bees collect so much different kinds of pollen that end up being integrated into the honey that it's one of the best things you can have for like fighting illnesses and allergies and all kinds of shit. And honey is the only known food substance in the world that doesn't spoil, that doesn't go bad.
Right.
They found honey in Egyptian tombs that's like 3,000-4,000 years old, and it's still good. It's still edible.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, it's definitely a fucking, you know, wonder material, dude. I mean, you know, there's something about it for sure.
Plus, my mom was always into the hot toddies, you know, when you're sick, when you were kids and stuff, you know, little bourbon, little whiskey with little lemon and some honey in it, you know, and heat it up. That was always like the cold cure. Or if you didn't feel good, always the hot toddy. Yep, hot toddy.
She fed you whiskey and shit for a cold.
Yeah, that's why I'm so fucked up now.
No wonder that answers a lot now.
They would just give me like a little bit of, you know, they would have like a shot and do it, you know. But for a little kid, you might give them just a little bit in there, you know, a lot of whiskey, just enough to open up the chest a little or something.
Just enough to get hammered and pass out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my problem. Too many hot toddies when I was little. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, man. I used to. My grandpa used to.
That's
always,
all I have to say about that.
We go to. I remember a couple weddings I went to. My grandpa was there when he was still alive. You know, and we went to this one in Iowa. And I was like 8 or 9 years old. He kept bringing up shots, man. He kept feeding me shots at this wedding reception. I was more than 9 years old. I had like three of them, and I was like, "That's it. I can't have any more." I was just kicking
like,
them,
Grandpa,
you know.
I can't hang with you.
You're going to jerk me under the table. My grandpa was pretty cool, man. He was a cool
dude. He goes, come here, sonny. I got something for you.
All right. Take a little of this. It'll do you wonders.
Uncorks the old jug of granddad's medicine. Grandpappy's old medicine. That's
a little
funny.
Bit better than your Coca-Cola.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Well, listen, I wanted to get into this at some point. It just crossed my mind, so I might as well say it to our listeners out there. Normally, we're a politically motivated. You know, you hear we talk a lot about, you know, state of politics, GOP, a lot of religious stuff, a lot of crazy issues that go on or whatever, a lot of funny stuff, but, you know, it's sad but funny at the same time. We go through a lot of the different stories that we find on Facebook and just different, you know, stories we find. But next week, well, we also have a new starting time. We're going 8 to 10. I think we're going to keep doing this, right? The 8 to 10 p.m. So we do have a new time that we're doing the Blisterfish show. And then next week, we're going to have the first hour is going to be the same format like we normally do with all the stuff we normally talk about. But the second hour, 9 to 10 p.m., we're going to be doing an NFL draft special. So it's totally off the format, just something. It's the day before the draft. The draft starts on next Thursday night. We're going to be here on Wednesday, 8 to 10 p.m. So we're going to talk all things NFL draft. So that'll be on the show description. We'll talk about it. Anybody wants to call in, have any draft questions, I'll be putting this link up on a few different sports sites on Facebook and stuff. So anybody that would want to call in and talk about the draft, football, whatever, just conspiracies, rumors, whatever, anything NFL football between 9 to 10. And we're not strictly, if somebody wants to call in during that time and talk about something else, we will talk about it. But we're going to try to stick to football for that hour and just talk about just the history of the Lions football and, you know, just the things that have happened. We're both kind of Lions fans, and I'm a pretty diehard Detroit Lions fan. So we'll just talk about that. So we're going to try to set that aside. So that should be pretty fun.
Yeah, cool. I'm looking forward to it. And I can I know you're a massive NFL fan and massive football fan, Lions fan. I like football, and I always have. I like it less than I have lately, I think, in the last few years, and I have in quite a while. It used to be my favorite sport, and I don't think it's not anymore. I think kind of baseball's overtaken it again. But you know, and for a lot of reasons, man. Some of the people involved in the NFL and stuff and things like that. So maybe we can talk about that too and next week. And
yeah,
we'll hash it all out with the upcoming draft and see what's going to happen in the coming year.
Right.
But I always look forward to football.
Yeah,
I always look forward to every year, dude. When you know the weather starts changing and the fucking college football kicks off about a week or two before you know the NFL, and it's just
right.
A nice time of year, man. Especially in Michigan, it's just the weather's usually beautiful, and you know the trees are changing colors, and it's a great time of year to be around in Michigan.
Right.
I don't know.
It's a good time. I like fall is my favorite season. I think my favorite month of the year is usually October. It's always been October. I just like the weather. I like the feel of the air. I like October in Michigan.
Yeah, it's a beautiful month here. But you know, besides the fucking 6 months of winter we've been getting lately, definitely one of the nice months. And I'm wondering if what's going to happen again. Man, it hasn't even really warmed up yet, dude. I mean, we're getting some nice days, but certainly not like consistently. Boy, it's, you know, we've had a week of warm weather. We haven't had that yet at all.
Not really.
Fucking winter just doesn't want to go away. I still almost think that we may get some snow yet. It almost feels like it just doesn't want to go away. May is tomorrow, and I would not be surprised if we got like a fucking dusting of snow. And
hey,
snow.
Quit praying on me, would you?
please no.
Oh man, I don't want it, but it just doesn't want to go away, man. It just feels like it's gonna stick around and still have some crazy ass, you know, first weekend of May fucking snowfall or something, man. It was a wicked fucking winter, dude. That was a rough fucking winter, dude.
That was brutal.
That's something that I remember from my childhood.
Right. It was definitely one of the roughest winters we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
That was
so hell, dude. We had like out here. I had one car width for our driveway. You know that was always that
yeah.
we maintained, and then one off to the side. I had drifts out back that went from my outbuilding to barn. They were 3-4 foot tall. You know, and they just wouldn't go away, man. I mean, it would, you know, it'd melt a little bit, and then it'd snow again and melt, you know, and
yeah.
it just fucking tons of snow all winter long. It was brutal. It was a wicked
winter. Yeah.
So, feels good, man. I went out and fucking mowed my lawn for the first time this year today, and I was like, yeah, that's not bad, man. I'm hoping that spring's, you know, going to be here full force, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm reserving judgment on that one yet.
I got to get out and mow mine. It's been raining almost every day. And, you know, it's like I wanted to mow it on Friday. We had a neighborhood house showing. Heck, they had CNN here, all the local news. They're putting a bunch of houses on auction in our neighborhood. And there was they're starting out real low. And I think it was 1,005 people that were right in our few blocks here on Saturday. They were coming there with all these news organizations. Everything was crazy. And I didn't get to mow the grass. It didn't really the front wasn't bad at all. I cleaned up the front yard, raked. I had a bunch of leaves that our big tree in our front of our yard still had half the leaves on it, and the leaves never fell off of it all through the winter. So they all fell off this spring on a windy day. So I had to re-rake all the leaves. I had to trim all the plants down, all the dead plants and everything, and it was crazy. So, you know, I was trying not to look like a complete, you know, the complete redneck out there with my pants. With the trash yard.
Car up on blocks in your front yard.
Yeah.
And
when CNN comes rolling by and I'm out there and they're like, yeah, here's white trash Detroit, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's trying not to look too bad.
Yeah. Did they sell them? Did they sell those houses, do you know?
They're doing one a day for so many days. I'm not sure when it actually starts. Do these houses go? Some of these houses are a lot bigger. I don't want to say they're nicer because they probably need a lot of work. But these houses go on the market, and it's an auction. They start at $1,000.
Wow.
So you can literally, I mean, a lot of them will sell. I mean, they may. There was one that just sold right by me. I think it was like 65. And it went on the market at 29, and it got, people were bidding back and forth, and it got up to 65. So they're not all, you know, you might be able to get a trashy one for like 10 grand or something, but, you know. But they're, you know, they're all brick homes for the most part, and they're, you know, they just need to be remodeled a little bit, and they need some work, and some TLC, and the neighborhood's getting a lot better, and it's a great way to live, man. We live like a king here. You know, I don't have a house payment. It's, you know, it's awesome. City services
awesome,
are getting
man.
Better.
Yeah.
So we got,
hey,
Mike Duggan got in there.
I saw that site that you liked on Facebook called Curbside Detroit or something like that, where they're showing like you know, where they're actually making improvements, and you know, big buildings are being sold and renovated, and that's a cool site, man. I that's an awesome site, and it surprised me at how much work is actually going on in the city to renovate. I mean, there seems to be a lot going on.
It's getting a lot better. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It is.
I guess one of the taller buildings in Detroit. It's like a 80 story or something, or 60 story, just sold. And they're going to renovate that whole damn thing and make it into offices and apartments and stuff. I think it's sold to like a fucking Chinese company or something, though.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of improvements happening in Detroit. I think it's really turning around. I mean, with the whole, now we're getting over the bankruptcy and everything's, the governor will be taking over, I think, or the governor, the mayor will be taking over everything in September. And I might have a big announcement as far as Morticia goes, my better half, so coming up here.
Yeah.
So. But I'll leave that to when it actually happens. But
good luck
so much
with
good
that.
Things happen. Yeah.
Cool.
So many good things are happening.
It's kind of hit bottom, man. I mean, you know, and you can see it's trending upwards. I mean, Detroit's definitely the kind of the butt of jokes of just how bad a shape it's in, and it is in bad shape. But definitely seems to be a lot going on to try, you know, because property's so cheap. You know, people coming in and buying it for cheap and renovating it.
They're buying it up. I mean, just our home in 2 years, we got ours, it was 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years. Well, we bought it 2 years ago this month. But we moved in 2 years ago next month. And in that time, in 2 years, our house has doubled in value. Now, we got it really cheap, but it's already worth twice what we paid for it. So, you know, it's awesome. That's because of just things are getting better, you know.
Awesome.
The city's getting better. The neighborhood that we're in has been, determined that it's a good neighborhood. So a lot of money's being pumped into it and a lot of improvements, and city services are a lot better in our area. And so it's not perfect everywhere, but it's getting better all over. So it's just slow, but, you know, I've noticed the change just in 2 years. So it's pretty exciting, you know.
Well,
I like
it. Yeah, it's good to see, man, because there are so many beautiful buildings and homes in that city. I mean, just so many that have fallen into disrepair, and it's good to see them being fixed back up again.
Yeah, well, they're going to start. They're tearing down every building and every home in the next few years. That they've got the money for it now, so that might already be started. But they've got the demolition team. They're just going to get rid of every building that's burned out and all that. So that's going to help a lot. Just, you know, getting rid of all the blight. Basically, get rid of all the blight. So that's going to really help out a lot.
But you go down that one road. It's in Mexican Town. I don't. It might be Grand River or Grand Ave or whatever. And it's got there's some massive Victorian homes in there, and they look like, and they were almost all boarded up. I mean, two-story, huge homes, beautiful, you know, outside architecture and detail in the houses, and they're all boarded. And it looks like they're finally starting to come back and start renovating that neighborhood also in some of those homes.
Are you talking about Boston, like Boston Edison or Indian Village, those neighborhoods like
Is
that?
Well, it's where all the Mexican restaurants are at, and there's main road that runs by there. I'm not real familiar with Detroit, but it's a two-way road. Huh?
Verner Avenue?
No, it's not Verner. I could swear it's like Grand or Grand River or
Grand River stops in downtown, but
I don't know. I forgot the road, but it's somewhere. It's somewhere on the way to or close by Mexican Town, where all the Mexican restaurants are at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Somewhere
right,
around
know
that
right
area,
from.
But I've seen some houses being fixed in there. I should know the name of the road. I don't know why. We go eat every time we go to the Tigers. We go to one of the Mexican restaurants down there, but. But I don't know. There's some houses being fixed up through there too, man. It's good to see.
Oh, yeah, it's getting a lot better, man. I tell you, every day. One of the best things I think we ever did was move here, because we got out of a big mortgage in a nice suburb, and I'm happy to be where we're at. And I think a lot of the things I do today I wouldn't be able to do if I was still living in a house with a big mortgage, you know. So.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
There's a lot to say for not having debt, dude. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, dude. I'm basically living the retired life right now, so this is nice.
Yeah.
It's great.
Doing what you want, man. It's good. It's good. Everybody should do that.
Yep. Yeah. I know. It's a good life, man. Getting the band back together and doing radio shows and, you know.
Right on.
It's pretty fun. Pretty fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to get together soon. We'll have to get you out here, or I'll come out to see you or something.
I've got tickets to some shows in Detroit. I'm going to see the Flaming Lips in June and then Jack White in July.
All right.
I'll be in the area. I'll let you know.
Right.
Maybe we can hit up for a drink or something.
Yes, most definitely.
All right, we'll hook that up.
Do
that.
You hear the outro music, so we got a couple minutes, but. Just cranking it up here, getting ready to end the show. But I just want to remind everybody again, next week will be first hour, 8 p.m. to 9, will be regular talk, current events, conspiracies, religion, all that. And then 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., we're going to have the NFL draft special. So we'll be talking about everything, all things NFL, and at that point getting crazy, having a few beers. Maybe we'll break out the queso dip. And, you know, just have some fun talking about all things NFL and football and draft. So, all right, DB, I'm gonna send it off, crank this bitch up a little bit, and I'll see you next Wednesday. Talk to you next Wednesday, 8 p.m.
Right on.
Adios. Be there, be scared.
Next week.
Right.
Mr. Fish.
Mr. Fish, we're out.